Our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Jesus withdrew his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all that he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan, and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, to keep the people from the crowd from crowding him. For he had healed many, so those with disease were pushed forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Before Matthew comes to speak, let's just pray for him. Father God, we pray for Matthew now at this time. May you anoint him with your spirit, and may you speak through him to us this day. Father God, may we learn today and learn to apply it this week, what we learn from you and from your word. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Amen.
Amen. Great. Is this working? Bro, last time I did it, I did the whole time and it didn't work, so that's great. Thanks so much, guys. Anyone experience stardom here, or when people have crowded you or flocked you or wanted something off you, so much so that they're gathering around you, that they want to touch you, they want to smother you. We see it, don't we, on TV today, if there's like a celebrity or going into somewhere, everyone wants the paparazzi, everyone wants to touch them. Or it used to be autographs when I was growing up, but now it's more selfies, isn't it? So everyone wants a selfie and get close to you. But also, Yayan's a Man City fan, although he's not wearing his Man City top today because they lost yesterday. But when they won the Premier League, I don't know if you saw it, but as soon as they won, the players, if they were clever enough, ran as quickly as they could to the dugout, because all the fans ran on the pitch. They all wanted to touch them, didn't they? They wanted to like be with them and say congratulations. And so those who weren't fast enough, like the goalkeepers, they got smothered. But everyone else just ran because these people wanted to get really close to them. And that is almost what we see today in that celebrity. I would say is a tiny glimpse of what happened to Jesus, these guys had bodyguards, these guys had people who were protecting them, but as we read today, Jesus had his 12 disciples, and yet so many people wanted to see him, touch him, be around him, hear him, receive things off him, and not just like 10 or 20 or hundreds, thousands wanted to be close to Jesus. And so that's what we're looking at today in Mark. And so it says there, Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, it says this: Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea. I think you did it better than me, Reese, on that one, mate. And the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. And so Jesus withdrew. Some people might think, oh, well, surely if Jesus is all loving or he's the Son of God, like, why would he withdraw from people? Lots of times in the Gospels, he talks about Jesus withdrawing, Jesus going up to the mountain by himself, Jesus going alone to be with his Father. And that was because he wanted to spend time with his Father and be alone. But also, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. And I don't know about you, but if people want to be with you all the time, you want a bit of space, don't you? You want some quiet time. And so Jesus withdrew because it says that a large crowd. One of the translations says a great crowd, and it says a great crowd twice. And one of the commentators says, this doesn't mean just thousands. This means tens of thousands of people are around Jesus. I'll show you now the area span. But all these areas are going to Jesus. They wanted to touch him, to be around him. And so he wanted a bit of quiet time, didn't he? He wanted a bit of space by himself, but also he had compassion for the crowd. And it says that when they heard about all he was doing, can someone find Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6? And if you can you read it out for us? If you get that, that'd be brilliant. Because it says they heard about Jesus. So these people, Jesus was only one man then, but this, and there wasn't social media or news or anything like that, but word of mouth had traveled so much across the state that they had heard about Jesus. Maybe they heard about the guy with leprosy who was healed, or maybe they heard about the guy who was lowered down on the roof, the paralytic, and he was healed. Maybe he heard about the food or the feeding or the great teaching. But people had heard about Jesus, and they had come to him. And Colossians 4, 2, verses 6. Whoever's got it, just read it out loud. That'd be great. Yeah, great, Dave. Brilliant. Thanks, Dave. And this is talking about people had heard, because people had seen or heard something about Jesus, and they told others about him. And for us today, 2,000 years on, like, use your testimony. And not just your testimony when I was 18 of how Jesus saved my life, but what testimonies are we having each week to tell people about Jesus? And also pray for opportunities. I don't know about you, but opportunities don't come really easily these days. They're not, it's not as if we're getting loads. But I found if I pray for opportunities, then I often get them. And sometimes you think, only when I'm spiritually high or I'm in a really good place, I've had a great quiet time, I'm just really close to the Lord, and you step outside and like, this is going to be the day. Like, this is going to be the one. And often, I don't know about you, but often when I'm in those days, nothing really happens. It's often when me and Becky have maybe argued, or I'm feeling spiritually dry, or the kids haven't listened to me, and I kind of want to ignore people outside. And then all of a sudden, someone will ask me about church or God or these things. And so in my weakness, I often find God gives me opportunities. But pray for opportunities every day. Someone said, every day, a great prayer, God, give me an opportunity. Even if there's one opportunity in the next 24 hours, give me an opportunity to share Jesus or to pray for someone today or for someone to experience Jesus through me. Give me an opportunity to extend your kingdom. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, for all of us this week, Lord. Amen. Amen. So even this week, start each day and just pray, God, give me an opportunity to tell people about Jesus today. And this area that these people came to has got 150 miles. So this is the area. So if you see the sun, yours is a bit harder now, isn't it? You're wishing you sat on this side so they can see that. So this is the sun. So it's around by the Sea of Galilee. It says the lake. Some of them say either the lake or the Sea of Galilee. They think it was the sea because they don't see the other side, but this was a lake. It was on land. So that's that around the area that Jesus was in. But people had come from, we read Tyre and Sidon. If you see the top left hand, that's where Tyre is. The south, Idumea, look all the way down the bottom, even further than Judea. And beyond the Jordan River, as you can see, that goes on the right. That's all that means on the right-hand side of that. So this is about 150-mile span that people had come to Jesus. And they didn't get an Uber or a train. Like, these guys would have walked to come to Jesus from this 150-mile span to come to Jesus. And just to put that in perspective, this is what it would look like now. So we're in Cardiff in the sunshine. Like, 150 miles span is almost up from Swindon, Worcester, even Swansea, guys. Even Swansea. And on the other side, below Bristol, even close to Bath. So just imagine all the people in that area right now walk into Cardiff. Like, they walk into Cardiff to see Jesus, to touch Jesus, to be with Jesus. All of that area, the whole it says about most of the population from that area traveling to see Jesus, to touch Jesus. And so this is what it means. This is the reality of right now, the amount of people who've come to see Jesus. And they didn't just come to listen to him. A lot of them wanted to come to touch him, because they'd heard that if you touch him, there's power. If you touch his robe, you can be healed. There's power if you touch him. So they're not just coming to hear, like, they want to touch him. They want to experience him. And it goes on to say then, because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him. Now we can understand why Jesus spent a lot of time in the water, can't we? Like, if you think of the land, like, a lot, he wanted to be close to the water. A small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Like, this was a practice that Jesus had picked up now. People would come to him, and then they would get a boat. Like, that's how we called Peter, isn't it? Peter was a fisherman. And so Peter, when his conversion in that sense, Jesus asked, can he stand in his boat whilst he preached? And people were on the seashore listening. And so he's used this before, and he's doing it again. There's a large crowd. He doesn't want to just get them to touch him, but the importance is he wants them to hear the word of God. Salvation comes from hearing the word of God. So he wanted to experience the power, but he wanted them to hear the words of God for them to be eternally forgiven. And so he got in a boat, and that was to keep the people from crowding him. So his disciples, imagine being a disciple right now. Like, there's 12 of you. There'll be more than 12, but then you're outnumbered. Like, there's thousands of people wanting to see Jesus. And some of these disciples, like Peter, he would have been protective of Jesus. He wouldn't have wanted harm to come to him. And so they would have been trying to protect him and just make sure he's okay. There's thousands of people. But Jesus' heart is that he wants them to touch him as well. He wants them to experience the power. He wants them to be healed. He wants demons to be set free. And so he has the power to do that. And so in one sense, he's happy for it, but also in another sense, it's quite overwhelming. And so for us as disciples today of Jesus, we don't have a physical one man who lives in Cardigan that we all go to. Like, he has now given us his spirit. So the same spirit that conquered the grave is in us. And so Jesus, people can meet Jesus and his power from us. Even receiving power from touching the disciples, Jesus can touch people through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And so how do we not only explain the truth, but also believe that there is still power in his name? There's still power in his name. And so not only do we want people to hear the word of God and hear the salvation, but we want people to experience the power of Jesus, and for us to pray, for us to say that Jesus is still powerful, that we can believe in his name. And so for us as disciples, we almost need to be doing the opposite right now of what their disciples had to do. They had to crowd, they had to protect him. When we now, because people aren't interested as much, we need to tell people, but also let them experience the power of Jesus. And it says there, for he healed many. And some people, I've heard some people say they don't believe in healing anymore, or they don't believe in the gift of healing, or they don't believe someone could have the gift of healing, because if they did, there wouldn't be any hospitals needed. Everyone would be well, and it wouldn't be. Like, I don't believe that. I believe that we still believe in healing, don't we? We still believe that God can use people with healing, and we still believe in the gift of healing. But in that time, in that moment, I'll show you what a commentator says right now. Imagine the area that we had back then. So imagine all that area right now. Imagine there was no need for the NHS. Imagine there was no need for the doctors. Not only like when revival comes, like the pubs or the shops close on us. Imagine there was no need for a doctor's surgery or a hospital. Because this is what one commentator says about this. He says, those who ventured out to see Jesus experienced miraculous displays unlike anything in history. The blind were given sight, the crippled walked, the deaf heard, the sick were made well, and the leprous cleansed. It was wonder upon wonder, beyond what anyone could have ever imagined. In an era nearly 2,000 years before the development of modern medicine in the 19th century, Jesus banished disease and its effects from the land of Israel for the duration of his ministry. Like, look at that. Like, not everyone went to him, so I wouldn't agree with that in that sense, but not everyone went to him, or sometimes he picked people to be healed. But Jesus, for those people who wanted to be healed, for those people who went to him, Jesus banished disease and its effects from the land of Israel for the duration of his ministry. With nothing more than a word and a touch, he brought immediate, complete healing and restoration to those who suffered from even the most debilitating defects, diseases, and disabilities. In addition, demon-possessed souls were delivered instantly. Like, that's amazing, isn't it? Like, that is incredible. It's hard to even imagine, isn't it? It's incredible to think of that. Imagine, like, the doctor's surgery, like, they close for a week, and then they say, oh, just go and try Thornhill Church. And they came over here, and every person who had an appointment wasn't given a prescription. They were healed on the spot. Like, that's the type of thing like we're talking about right now. Like, the amount of people that went to Jesus and were healed of all these diseases, of infirmities, demon possession. Like, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard to comprehend. And we might think, well, if that happened right now today, then that's revival. If that happened today, then that's the answer. And so that's the only thing we need to do right now, is focusing on healings, and that'll be it. But sadly, Jesus, in that area of 150 miles, would have healed thousands of people. Thousands and thousands of people. He would have fed in his ministry thousands of people. He would have taught in his ministry thousands of people. And yet, when he died and rose again, last Sunday we celebrated Pentecost. And how many were left? 120. Like, 120 with the thousands and the thousands and the thousands. And yet there's 120 seeking him. There would have been more believers, but for the amount of people who he helped, who he healed, who he'd forgiven, demon possession, all these things, and yet many of them walked away. That's heartbreak, isn't it? Like, many people walked away, and yet he still loved them, and he still loves people today. He still wants people to experience his power. He still wants people to be healed and set free, and for that to be a seed sown for them to trust in him. But even for Jesus, not everyone believed in him. And finally, he says this in Mark 3, just the verses 11 and 12. It says, when the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. Like, look who's saying that. Impure, evil spirits are shouting, you are the Son of God. They're on their knees. But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. And this is a weird thing, isn't it? Like, when we think of evil spirits or impure spirits, we can often think of maybe the devil with horns and kind of red and all these. But he says he disguised himself as angels of light. The devil says he and the demons disguise themselves as angels of light. And also we know from the Bible, it says that he's the father of lies, that he tells lies, that even in Adam and Eve, he tried to tell them a lie, to change God's word. And yet, you'd think then, with the evil spirits, when they saw Jesus, you'd think they'd say, this guy's a phony. Like, this guy's a false prophet. Like, everyone run, this guy's going to harm you. Like, you'd think they'd say that, wouldn't you? Because they're the father of lies. They want to lie. They want to deceive. And yet, Jesus' power was so great among them, it was almost the only time they could tell the truth. Like, that was the only... His power, his identity, who he was the only time that caused them to tell the truth. That it drove it out to them. That this man who had evil spirits in him, like, got on his knees when he saw Jesus and shouted, you are the Son of God. Like, that's what this guy did. You are the Son of God. The one with the evil, like the demon possession, he shouted, you are the Son of God. And why did he see it? Why did he say that? Because this demon had seen him before. He'd seen him in his glory. He'd seen him before the world existed. He'd seen him when he was created and when the fall came. He had seen Jesus then, and he knew who he was, so much so that he can't deny who Jesus is. But Jesus doesn't need the authority of these guys, and he says, be quiet. Like, be quiet. This isn't your job to tell anyone else. He doesn't need their affirmation. He doesn't need their words. And so he tells them to be quiet, because it talks about his time had not yet come. His time had not yet come. And again, think of the thousands of people that Jesus had healed, had fed, had set free. Jesus could have had an army. He could have had an army. He could have caused a massive rebellion. He could have taken the Romans on. He could have taken over the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He could have been crowned king by them. And he could have an army of people. And yet he said, my time has not yet come. This is not what I've come for. My kingdom is different. Like, the way I'm going to do this is different. And so he said to these guys, like, I don't need you to say anything about me. But then he says to us the opposite again. Go and make. Go and make. Like, as Christians, we can't let the demons steal our thunder, can we? We can't let them say Jesus is the Son of God and for us to keep quiet. Like, we've got to go and make. We've got to go and tell people that Jesus is the Son of God. Like, that is who he is. We need to be clear on his identity and tell people that Jesus is the Son of God. And then finally, if someone could... Dave, that was great. But last time we had loads of Dave. So this week, this time, if your name's Dave, you can't do this one, okay, guys? So Philippians 2, 1 to 11. It's mainly 9, 10, and 11, mainly verse 10. But these are great words. So if someone has Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11, and then read them out almost as we're closing up, just read it out loud, then that'll be great. Philippians 2. But focus on verse 9, 10, 11. Thinking of this story.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every other name.
Look at that verse 10 from what we just said.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father.
And so what the demon did there is almost a foretaste of what's going to happen. Above the earth, the people who are already with him, like the thief on the cross, who Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. For us, if we're on the earth now and Jesus returns, like, will we gladly bow the knee? Will we say this is the day we've been looking forward to? This is what we want most in life. And even people who deny Jesus, not just the devil and the demons, but people who deny Jesus, people who don't put their trust in him, and who would spend eternity without Jesus, which would break his heart because he's paid the price for us. Even they will bow the knee and recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. And so this week, let's pray for opportunities. Even if, like, we're going on holiday, I'll be a little bit like, maybe let's have a break. Maybe let's try to avoid people. I'll tell them I'm a carpenter or something like that. But let's pray for opportunities as we meet people, as we meet strangers. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. As disciples, how can we get people to hear and touch Jesus through us this week? Believing in Jesus' power. These people heard about it and they went to see Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if people again healed and set free, and they're coming to the door and knocking the door and saying, I've heard this is where people get healed. I've heard this is where people are getting set free. Like, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? That would be great. And obviously we want to come to know Jesus effectively, ultimately, don't we? But lots of people, Jesus didn't, but that's what we want, don't we? That people will come. And also, when will we bow the knee? If you don't know Jesus right now, like, would you willingly bow the knee? Like, do you say, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Like, you are the Son of God. Or maybe you're kind of in a difficult place or undecided place. Like, will you bow the knee? And when we bow the knee, we're not saying, like, we're the good guys or we've got it all in place or we're perfect, are we? We're bowing the knee, like, just in humble adoration, in gratitude, saying, we thank you, Jesus, so much. We thank you so much. And so we bow the knee before you. And we pray that everyone else will. We're going to sing a final song of worship. But let me just pray. Yeah, Father, I just pray you'll help us want to have opportunities this week. Lord, when we're feeling tired or maybe spiritually not in a good place, help us desire to have opportunities even when we don't naturally desire them, Lord. Help us look to share you and say yes to your Spirit. Help us remember this prayer and pray it tomorrow morning. Yeah, help us just each morning, each day, pray, God, give me an opportunity to share your truth. And help us be obedient in what that looks like and who that is to. Help us, Lord. Father God, we just pray for a fresh experience, a fresh belief,
of your power, Lord. Lord, in our midst, we thank you for answered prayer, Lord. We thank you for medicine, Lord. We thank you for testimonies, Lord. But we read your word, dramatic transformation, unbelievable stories, and we believe it's for today. So Lord, help us see that, we pray. Lord, if there's anything we're doing wrong, Lord, show that. But Lord, use us. Your same spirit is in us. Use that power to set people free, to heal disease, to clean people. Use us this week, Lord. May that be a testimony this week, Lord. And Father, for any of us who don't know you or don't willingly bow the knee to you, help us. Convict our hearts, Lord. You're gentle with us and you're compassionate. But Lord, this life is temporary. And help us willingly bow the knee to you now. Help us willingly bow the knee to you daily. Just like if we teach our kids to bow the knee before they pray at night. Help us be a people, Lord, who willingly bow the knee to you until we see you face to face. We thank you so much for your grace and for your love. Help us be your kids this week, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.